Welcome to the Category5.tv Community Coffee Break, everyone. It's the 20th of September, 2020. It's like 2020. I just realized that. Whoa.
It sure is. Yeah. It sure is.
After 72 Category 5 Community Coffee Breaks, this is our 72nd. Can you guys imagine
that? Wow. That's
impressive. And so today we wind down what we're going to call season one of the Category 5 TV Community Coffee Break. It was started up as kind of a way to give us some respite from everything that was going on in our world back in March and onward here in 2020. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Give us a place to come together as a community and just kind of chat about anything else. Now it's evolved into something that is so much more than that. We've become a even tighter knit community. It's a small but mighty group of people who are here regularly. And so after 72 of these Category 5 Community Coffee Breaks, we're going to say, okay, well, that's season one. Now we're going to move on. Now we're going to move on to season two. And with the evolution of the Community Coffee Break comes some change. And that means that it's not just about coming together to get away from all of the stuff that we've been dealing with in 2020, but it's also an opportunity for each kind of individual community member to be able to share some of the tech that they're working on. I can't wait to show you some of the cool things that I'm working on. VP9 has always got some kind of project going on, and that's really cool. And with the change to season two of the Community Coffee Break, you may have noticed, but I am not the host. I am not the moderator of the Community Coffee Break anymore. And so officially, I hand the reins over to our friend BP9 from our community. And BP9, moving forward, will be the moderator and host of the Category 5 Community Coffee Break.
Okay.
So congratulations and welcome. And thank you, BP9, for stepping up to take that off of my shoulders. And it's going to be an exciting season. So welcome to the next level.
Well, thank you, Robbie. I appreciate that. So I guess it's officially mine now. So I will do my best to carry on. I will do my best to carry on in the regular transition and in the regular the way we do it. We keep it geeky because the big thing that I love about this particular coffee break is that we get to play in the we get to be geeks. We just get to talk tech, yeah. And we get to when we're not talking about COVID, we're not doing any of that mess. We're going to keep it positive and keep it interesting. So I've got some stuff to share. So let me first introduce everybody. So I see Doug on the top left-hand corner. And then myself, I'm BP9, and then we've got Robbie in the bottom left-hand corner, and then I see Peter has just joined us as well. Hey, Peter, how are you, sir? Okay, your audio's a little low, but that's okay. You may need to tweak that a little bit.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Peter.
It's a little better, Peter. So what you may have missed, Peter, was I don't know if you heard that as you were just coming in a little late, but Robbie has handed the reins over to me in terms of keeping the coffee break going. So I'll be hosting Coffee Break from here on out. So I'll do my best to not mess up.
I think you hit on it too. I should say, like, one of the things you hit on, like, we can be geeks here, but we can also be ourselves, and we can be like, you know, that I've done coffee breaks sitting with a bowl of ramen at my office. Like, it's not something that is overly formal. It's a community coffee break. It's a get together. So BP9, you don't have to worry about like, hey, I hope I do a great job. It's like, just this, as long as you're here, you show up and you do your thing. Cause what you've been doing over the past like 72 weeks or 72 episodes, I guess I would say, cause some of them were daily, it's going to be great.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Robbie. I appreciate it. So let's see. Let's start with Doug. What have you been up to technical wise or anything else? What sort of fun have you been having?
I've pretty much just been working. and going to church. But I wanted to ask, Robbie, you did a show here a while ago using Pi Hole. You remember that?
I do. I've done a couple of shows on Pi Hole. So one of them was a generic install, and one of them was specific to the MikroTik.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that on MikroTik. But you did that on a Raspberry Pi, right?
In the feature, I don't recall, Doug, which board I used. Personally, I use an XU. My Pi Hole is running on an XU4. Because I personally don't like that the Raspberry Pi is only SD cards. So with something as critical as a DNS server, a Pi Hole, I wanted something that had eMMC, something with more reliable storage. So that's why I went with the XU4. But I don't recall which I showed.
I was thinking of doing that on a Raspberry Pi. I guess I'll have to buy something a little bit better suited.
Although I have a similar question regarding regarding DNS, the Pinebook Pro, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Robbie, but the Pinebook Pro tends to...
Sorry, I froze up there, guys, so I missed anything Doug said.
Oh, no. Doug was asking about the Pi Hole.
Yes, so I got that far. Sorry, and then I lost you.
Okay, Go ahead, Doug.
I'm sorry. You said that you did it at an XU4, and yeah. I said I'll probably have to buy something a little more suitable.
Do you have like a home server, Doug?
No.
Okay. Because here at the studio, it's a little different because I have a server, so I have VirtualBox installed, and I actually run it as a Debian virtual machine. So you can always, it is just a Linux application, so you can follow the steps I did in the tutorial, and you should be able to install it on any Linux machine, but you just want to make sure it's something that can always be up. That's all. Because as soon as you turn it off, like you wouldn't put it on your desktop computer, because as soon as you turn it off, all of the internet goes down because you've lost all DNS. Yeah. So just make sure it's something reliable. That's all.
I've got a computer running Point Linux that I might be able to put it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure it's reliable, or that you have that. As soon as you install a Pi Hole, you have to immediately go to, it's probably DNS. When there's a problem with the internet, because I've had it happen where, you know, I've accidentally unplugged my Pi Hole and internet goes down for the whole house. And you're looking around trying to figure out why is internet down. And it turns out my DNS server was down. So it's just not resolving. So the first test you can do is just ping an IP address on the public WAN. And, you know, like 8.8.8.8 is a really easy one to remember. So ping it, see if it replies. And if it does, you know, it's your DNS.
What does that come back to?
That's the DNS servers at Google.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there are others.
So it's just a way, because if your Pi Hole goes down, google.com will not come up, but 8.8.8.8 will. So because DNS is specifically domain name resolution, so it converts the .com to an IP address. As long as you know the IP address, you can get there anyway, but it's a quick way to test if your DNS server is the problem.
Right. Okay.
So a quick question for anyone in the chat. The Pinebook Pro and probably my laptop with the Ubuntu 2020 on it, it will use a DNS address of 127.0.0.53, and that seems to cause a delay in name resolution every single time. And if I go into etsyresolve.conf and change that to my local router, 192.168. whatever it is, then it works, bang, every single time.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? And what's the solution for that? I mean, it looks like that 127.0.0.53 is designed to dynamically switch DNS depending on whether you have a Wi-Fi connection or a wired connection or whatever the case may be. But it just seems to be giving us a hard time.
They're on the fridge.
Why it's using a loopback, but I think your solution is correct. You say Etsy. I always say ETC. So I got to get into the habit of saying Etsy. I like it. So in etsyresolve.com, I think your solution is perfect. just change
but
it
I gotta
to
do
the
that.
Proper. You
gotta,
do
that every
yeah.
time I power it up, but or otherwise I forget.
It is DNS. Oh, every time you power it up?
Yeah, because
oh, change the permissions on the file so it doesn't get rewritten.
Well, what happens is that the there is a process, and I'm trying to remember the name of it that I can't remember. But what it does is it overwrites the /etc/resolve.conf.
Yeah,
and it rewrites the 127.0.0.53 on startup every time.
You're on a 192 network, right? So
yes, sir.
Create a cron job as root. here's your cron job at reboot.
Yeah.
This is an actual command. So at reboot, okay. No space, space, okay. Echo, and then in quotes, 192.168.0.1, which presumably is your correct DNS server.
Right.
And then unquote, space, pipe
greater
into
than,
slash etc slash resolve dot conf. And then at reboot, every single time, your cron is just going to kick in and rewrite the file with the correct setting.
And then
so
the dynamic.
If that's hacky, that's
yeah,
hacky
I know.
But it works.
But it depends on when it runs, because the existing...
It'll run at reboot.
Well, it will, but then also the dynamic DNS process will start at reboot as well. It may come right
KBP9.
Behind the cron job. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
At reboot, space, sleep 20... ampersand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
The command.
That'll work.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So wait 20 seconds and then go. Yeah.
Well, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, or have it run, every 15 minutes. So just star slash 15 space, star space, star space, star space, star, and then the command. And that'll run
once
it every 15
minutes. Once I do it and make the change, it never changes after that. Not until I reboot. So
there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So I only have to worry about reboot. So anyway, back to you, Doug. You were we rudely interrupted you. What was the next question, Doug?
No, I was just saying I'd have to switch to something a little bit more suitable. The Raspberry Pi probably wouldn't be able to handle it. It's too slow, doesn't have enough memory. Not enough RAM, I should say.
The Pi hole?
Pi hole is
pretty lightweight. I would just suggest you turn off the logging. Just turn off logging so it's not constantly writing to the SD card. Otherwise, it's going to kill it a lot sooner. But I mean, it's just a bind 9 server at its heart. So with a blacklist. So it's not really doing much outside of RAM as long as it's not logging. So a Raspberry Pi 2 would do it just fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a Raspberry Pi 3. So
perfect. Yeah. No, that worked just fine. Just watch the logs. Yeah.
And whatever you do, put it on a UPS or something, because if it ever loses power unexpectedly, it could well corrupt that SD card. Yeah. It could well have to
put a Pi Voyager on it.
What's that, Rob?
Pi Voyager is my favorite from Omslow. Just do a search for Pi.
A battery backup?
Yes, but it's a smart, intelligent battery backup. So if the battery depletes, it will safely shut down the Raspberry Pi.
I have
so
that
unlike just plugging it in. Oh yes,
for an Arduino, but I don't have to worry about the Arduino shutting down because it's all firmware, right? Once you've programmed it, that's it. You're in. You know, even if the power goes off unexpectedly, it just comes right back up again. But I have a battery backup for the Arduino, so that works. Mm. All right, Peter, how is your wife? Please let us know.
Oh, yes. Last coffee break, she had a fall.
Yeah, she got some batteries where she sticks them in the place where it hurts. And these batteries are painkillers. They don't work very well, she told me. She's in a lot of pain.
Is she still in the hospital, Peter?
No, she's not in the hospital. She's here at the moment. She's just giving a tea. She's trying to stay down, but she's one of these people that are not to work 24/7, you know. They believe in their puts and their work ethic. In other words, they don't sit on their bum all the time. You know, it's difficult to get her to sit down and told to rest. The nurse told her to rest. I told her to rest. Doctor told her to rest, but she won't. She's had to fall before, and the same sort of bloody problems I've had with her, you know.
So she's walking around then?
Yeah, she shouldn't walk around.
Wow.
She shouldn't walk around. would walk around.
You can't on crutches play. Or on crutches or on a walker or what?
No, it's got a walker.
Okay. Okay.
It's got, I told that the person who gave the walker, they got fast, and they got go fast stickers on it because she's got two of them. She's got one upstairs and one downstairs, you know. Mm. And she's got a toilet as well, which is the most funny thing I've ever seen. I'm sorry about the toilet humor, but it's on wheels. It's got a safety belt. You can see it, and you can wheel it down to the shops on it.
Oh, it's an electric cart then?
No, it's pushable. I have to push it, but she can have while she goes down the thing, because she sits on it, and the toilet's got a bowl underneath where you can relieve yourself with a safety belt on it, which is to stop you falling out, which I thought was quite amusing at the time. So she's got that, and she's just hides that in the corner, and she goes up there, and then when she wants to go somewhere, because she can't go upstairs very well.
Mm-hmm. And how long will she be in the chair?
Probably to December.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then are they going to take the plates and stuff back out, or are they going to leave that stuff, that hardware all in place?
They just say, okay. Just say there's an nail, it's a bone and around a wedding tackle, around a private, you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Private, yeah, I don't know any further, you know.
Yeah, of course.
That's embarrassing, you know. And
What have you been up to? Programming and technical and power supplies?
I would try to help you, but
tell me more. What's going on?
Yeah, well, a BT decides to a certain time of the day to gut my internet, goes away for 2 hours or an hour, and suddenly comes back on again, and I don't do anything.
That's brutal. That was the day I was asking Peter questions about electronics, and then he suddenly just disappears for 2 hours.
What?
Did you forget to pay your internet bill again, Peter?
No.
Pay your internet bill again.
I'll show you what I was doing, Peter. Peter, these are the lights. Can you guys see these?
Yeah.
So this is the deal. Yeah, these are the lights. Ooh. So what I want to do is they've got a 15-volt power supply, but they've all got these bricks. So they've all got these 15-volt, 2-amp. No, they're 3-amp. I was wrong.
Okay.
Little power supplies. So I got to wire them all together so that I don't have all those bricks.
I mean, you got?
6. And they're hanging from the roof. I don't.
And they're LEDs, are they? Or...
Yeah, they're LED.
How much can you put 14 in it or 16? What is it? Is that critical? Is it?
You know what I need to do? I need to hook up my kilowatt to it and see how many amps it's actually drawing, because I don't know. It's a 3-amp power supply. It might only be drawing 1. For all I know, so
may be some startup rush current, though. It may take 3 amps momentarily to get started and then settle on like 1 amp or something.
That's an interesting point. So if I got a power supply, like Peter was recommending, I get this kind of universal power supply that had enough amperage at 15 volts that I could just wire everything in a circuit. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if I could like create a bit of a relay circuit that would like trip them after like a timer, so that like light one comes on, light two comes on, light three comes on, five timers.
Five timers. Yeah,
right.
What are they called?
There's an IC called a 555, and you can put that in a circuit to cause a time delay.
That's clever.
I would send you the circuit, right, Bobby, via if the internet doesn't go again. I've already had a go about it because I'm annoyed with the PC. I am very annoyed with them because he's been doing this for a month on and off. And they can't seem to find the fault. I asked them for a modem, and they started to try to charge me. And I pointed out to them that I'm only getting 80% of the time on my internet because... I'm saying, you know, you're not paying your... You're not doing your part of the bargain in this contracts. So I used that on them. And it, and I said, you're not doing that. So I'm trying to help you try to fix this thing because you're not doing very well at the moment. So that because you went round the circle, you know.
So, are you out? Are you like out in the boonies or something? Or like, why have you only got such miserable internet?
Because it could, because we're out and somewhere out in the sticks everywhere. We live out out of nowhere.
So,
Now, Peter, BT means British Telecom, right?
Yeah, well, I give me something else as well, but I won't repeat that.
Well, yeah, I know. Let's keep it clean. This is a PG PG 13 show here.
I know, but you understand. And they were very passionate about doing electronics. I talked about wiring the thing up, and I explained to them also. By the way, I got a degree in electronics, also got an MSc as well. So please, I do know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for 10, so I've been 20, now I'm 60. I've been doing this for 40 years, you know. They were trying on every bloody way to get out of it. But then they sent me a router on Wednesday, allegedly. You can never tell if they will. They're supposed to bring an engineer and never turn up. I told them off about that one as well. That's a promise, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when they set a time of day somewhere between 8 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
Yeah, I told them off because I got annoyed with them. Basically, I don't get forced to get out with them, you know what I'm saying? And nobody particularly. So then send me a new router. So I suggested it could be the router up the chute, yeah, the router. It could be intermittent, you know. I'm trying to eliminate problems. But we get a lot.
Well, rent all that from British Telecom, right? So they should be able to replace them. They've done that for me, not BT, but my local telephone provider.
So. Well, they were trying to charge me 60 quid.
Oh, my.
And that's when I said...
Shouldn't cost anything if you rent it from them.
That's what I said. And also
shouldn't cost... It.
That's why I'm wondering about the contracts as well. You know, they're not doing their contracts. And then they was asking me, can you get 3G, 2G, or whatever G? And I said, no. He said, we can't get anything. They haven't sent me a 2G thingy bobby wise thing.
Yeah.
I said, you can't do that. Cause it doesn't work in this village. He said, what about a mobile? I said, well, the mobile don't work either because the area will face the wrong way. Typical Irish, you know.
Well, it's holding up all right, Peter. So it's holding up all right. So that's a good thing.
At the moment,
it seems to be.
It's all well on Linux, but when you go onto Windows, it tends to start to go a bit weird. So I had all that problem.
So we've only got a few minutes left.
I was about to take them out as well, but
if you're very quick. If you're very quick,
Robbie, I don't think you get the surge. You got LEDs because it's only when you get surges with a fluorescent light, you know. The best thing is to run one power supply. And the other thing I was doing was I took down my disc on and repaired it. The thing was actually didn't work. And I discovered why it didn't work because I didn't connect the pin to the aerial, and there was getting no connection. And it's been running like that for a long time. And the actual there was a piece of metal like blocks like that. Well, that's a big bit of it. But it was a thinner bit than that. It was about a quarter of an inch, and it had an hole down it. And you put a rod down the middle with an Allen key. Well, this one split like a banana in four different directions. And I had to take that off and have another wee think about it and redesign. We remodeled another one on it, and I got it to work again. It was still very good. It's supposed to be white band, you know, but I've never had anyone really in any real play, real success with them. It seemed to be a bit, up and down, you know.
Got her fixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know, Peter. Good to know. All right. I got some homework for the rest of you lot whenever we get back together next week, because I'm trying to understand the difference between SSL certificates and public private key encryption. Because when you look at SSL, it seems like there's a public and a private key in there somewhere. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to use the private key to verify the identity of the person or the person who's connecting to the server. And it seems to me SSL won't do that. SSL will encrypt the communication between the client and the server, but I don't think that is an adequate way to verify a person's identity. I think the solution is public private key, but I'm looking at the gcrypt library at the moment that comes on that comes standard with Linux, and I think I figured out how to do it. But I'm trying to understand, as I say, I'm trying to understand the difference between public and private key and SSL.
I always thought that SSL was just point-to-point encryption.
I think that's true as well, but it seems to rely on some kind of a third party to trust the certificate, chain. Hmm. And I'm trying to come up with a solution. Trust no one, right? if I generate a private key as my client, as me running the client, when I talk to the server, I want to give the server my public key. Say, right, here's my public key, and use that anytime you want to talk to me. But the thing when I'm reading through the documentation is it looks like you can only encrypt with a private key, and I'm not going to give the server my private key. So that's your homework for the evening or for the week. See if you all can help me figure that out.
BT9, I said something about Lazarus the other day. Did you understand that when you install Lazarus, it puts on a Nexus package on it, and you have to run on Windows A thing to take the package off? It's for debugging stuff. Did you get that information? I sent you.
I understood that. I've worked with Pascal before. Both free Pascal and with Turbo Pascal.
Do you have to do it with Linux? That's what I want to know. Did he put the baggage on in Linux as well?
Oh, probably. I didn't get that deep into it. I just got into it deep enough to be able to compile the package that I was trying to compile the latest version of, and it just compiled and ran. So
there's a file called there's a file in Windows which you run with the program. I've got a script file that I run, and it takes off all this baggage stuff off, and it makes it nice and slim. I don't know if you have to do that then.
I'm not doing this to distribute it, so I do not care whether it has debug symbols in it or any of that mess. So I'm quite happy just to run it as it comes out of the compiler.
Because I'm writing a program that actually is going to be sold. It's an aerial design program to design matching, different types of matching. There's a lot of horrible maths in it as well. And I need to get into the debugging stuff because it gets very big. It's like 30 megs long.
Best advice I can give you would be to check Google or check the documentation for Lazarus or Free Pascal, which is the Pascal compiler that it uses behind the scenes. There'll be documentation. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Okay.
Do you know anything about Gamma Match quickly? No.
We don't have time to get into that, Peter. I'm sorry. We're up to 30 minutes. So
this is your baby now, BP9. I'm just sitting here quietly observing.
I have the button. I have the button. I could click the button right now and we'll be done.
We have the power.
All right. This is we're up to 30 minutes. We're done. So So Doug, thank you, and Peter, thank you for your time, and especially you, Robbie. I appreciate your here. I appreciate your time, and hope you can come in. You know,
thanks more for keeping
often.
This going
yes,
for the community, absolutely. Man. I mean, this has become. I mean,
yeah,
Peter's
I think
here,
it's important.
And Doug is here. We mm-hmm. often see Solbu and Marshman, and there's a handful of other people. Reed has been yep. joining us as well, and it's just like yep. this to be able to keep this going is really a special thing for our community. So thank you, BP9.
Cool. Yep, you're welcome. No problem at all. All right, I'm going to end the meeting now. So let me say cheerio to everybody, and thanks very much for your participation. See you next week. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.